at least not handy. This meeting is via Zoom. If anyone is having difficulty with that, there doesn't seem to be any public. But if there is, we will have to do something else. Public comment of things not on the agenda. Is there any public comment? All right, if not, agenda review. Does anyone have any additions or deletions to the agenda?
I do. We need to add COVID-19 travel restrictions for our employees.
COVID. For employees, okay. We'll do that after D, we'll do that on E.
Yep, that's fine.
Is that okay? Any yep. other additions or deletions? I need a motion to include that in the agenda.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Question on that, John. Should we have it quicker? Does Jimmy need to be part of that?
It wouldn't hurt to have him there for it, yes.
So that way maybe he doesn't have to stay the whole time?
Well, let's do it then after C, because he's going to want to be there for C and B yep. and A.
Okay.
I'll just remind that. Me. All those in favor, John?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
And myself, aye. Moving on, warrants for approval. We have one warrant, number 20002, for the amount of $121,824.76. And that represents two pipe bills. Do you want me to delineate the two pipe bill amounts, or are you all happy with what Ellen sent you?
Are there any issues, or are they any issues over those two invoices, or are they good to go?
We can talk to John about that. It is my understanding that these two invoices, and I believe there is the third invoice now, that John has signed off on these invoices and feels that they can be paid. Jimmy, am I incorrect in that statement, or is that correct?
No, that's correct. Yep.
So John has signed off on these, and so I believe it's all right to pay them.
That's correct. Yep.
So I make the motion that we approve warrant 20002 for $121,824.76, and we need a second for that.
Second.
And is there any more discussion on those two invoices? Then all those in favor, John?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
And myself, aye. All right, road foreman's report, and I have a feeling that the road foreman's report is going to be A, B, C with number 5, but Jimmy, you're on stage.
Okay, well, the biggest thing of it is we had some erosion that happened up on Howe Hill. And we had a meeting, me, John, and the Pike members had a meeting and come to a solution on fixing it. That where the band rail is, it washed pretty good. And when we left the meeting, we had decided that the Pike Industries would supply the equipment and the labor to fix up the washout spots on that band rail area. And so with that being said, there was going to be some bigger stone involved with putting over the edge. And so I told them that I would come to the board and see if the board would be interested in the town of Palfrey paying for the stone on our end of it, if they supplied their end of it and did their end of it with the equipment and labor. And I had a follow-up email with them just to make it very clear that it weren't going to cost the town any more money and whatnot, and they agreed on that as well. So I'm looking for to see if the town would be interested in supplying the stone to put underneath the band rail where it's washed out. As long as Pike Industries does the equipment and the labor at no extra cost.
And you have emails to support that, right, Jimmy?
Yes, I do. Yep, that I do. I sent him an email and he got back and he said he fully agreed on it. This Chris Jarvis did, and I explained to him that it couldn't be no extra charge and this and that and what we agreed on. And he wrote me an email back and said that I agree on the work that needs to be done down below and how you want it done.
So does anyone have any questions of Jimmy? Also, Jimmy, how much stone or how much money do you anticipate that this fix for the amount of stone we may need is going to cost us?
Well, I mean, there were some numbers kicked around and whatnot, maybe a total of 8 load, but then that would have been like 7-inch minus at that time. And I think we're like right around $300 a load for that. And of course, we would pay the trucking on it and they would bring it right to the site. But then they reached out to me today and was saying that they, for a while, they're going to want what they call type 2 stone. So that is from 6-inch minus up to a foot. And I don't really have that word till later this afternoon when I learned that. So I don't have the price on that. But usually the bigger you go, the cheaper it gets.
Jim, is the reason for the washout related to the fact that that band rail was just put in place and the ground's not really, you know, compacted around it yet to deal with the runoff? I mean, was the ground just kind of loose already just because
it was actually, and that came up in our meeting that we had. And I had mentioned, you know, it should have been compacted before they bladed it off to put the band rail in. And then we kind of haggled over that a little bit. And then I said, you know, where the impressions were from the legs, that could have been filled in and whatnot. And then there were some issues with them not putting the cutouts in the berm. And we've been back and forth and haggled over. And one of their pet things they kept coming back to was, well, the amount of rain that we got, you know, 2 inches of rain in half hour time. And you can't expect it to be perfect and whatnot. So we really deliberated on that for, gosh, quite a while. And they could see that they weren't willing to bite it all off. So that's why we tried to haggle it out on us doing a little bit and them doing so as well.
I think even the fact of the state that the road was in, AKA in the middle of construction, and the amount of rain and stuff that we got, I don't think there's any doubt that no matter what part of the process they were in, there probably was going to be some washouts due to that anyways. It's kind of tough to plan for that kind of an event in mid-construction given the slope of the road and the bank up there.
Right.
You know, the road, once that stone gets put in, it'll be better than prior to construction, I would imagine.
Yeah, I'm not,
in the middle, it's probably about the best we're going to get.
Right, and I'm not asking to affix blame.
I'm
really just trying to understand what the origin of the problem was, and it does make sense given
they did make an offer to just kind of go down through and put hard back in it, and you know, kind of just put more of a Band-Aid over it. By us doing what we're doing now, it's going to be more of a permanent fix than what it would be if they just went down through there and put the shoulder underneath of it and walked away.
You know, and did you say it's going to be 7-inch minus on this?
Some of it will be like a foot around, you know what I mean, foot stuff.
Yeah. Is there any long-term impact of putting in that larger stone around the band rail, or is that going to also be a good long-term solution?
It's that's why we're going this way with the stone, because it's going to be more of a long-term solution. To do the whole thing and do it all right, even before it washed out. I mean, before it washed a little bit as well, before they even started this project. And we put some stone down over it, but to do it and do it right out of the box, we should have put the money in there. You know what I'm saying? If you wanted it to go away 101%, because that's one steep, steep, steep bank all the way down through there. So with that being said, I mean, what they're doing underneath the bandrail, I'm pretty confident that it will take care of the problem. But you got to remember, too, they're not going to have that stone right tight out to the road. There'll be 3/4-inch hardtack that'll be your shoulder, and all that stone and everything is going to be behind that.
Yep. Okay.
We also should bear in mind that even Jimmy got the labor and the machinery out of them at no cost to us. If they were to fix it, all of it themselves, we would be paying for the stone anyway, because our contract says it's materials, and depending on what they use, just like they dug out that hole, that boxed out that section down by young Mr. Brooks, and they had to put something back in there, and that was not planned on, and that material costs.
Yep.
And so this material is going to cost us, whether it's on Pike's bill or whether it's on our bill. In order to fix the problem, we're going to have to spend the money either way. At least this way, they're going to fix it with rock that we pay for. They are at least willing to fix the problem at no additional cost. So I think we're almost coming out ahead rather than behind. It's unfortunate that it washed. Don't get me wrong. It's unfortunate, as John said, that we got that much rain in the middle of the construction. But sometimes things happen, and would I have liked it another way? Yes, but
yeah, I mean, I think it seems like a good deal. I don't have any problem with the solution. I just wanted to get a sense of whether this was mostly related to the stage of the construction, and I'm sure everybody also noticed how much of a beating the Windrose took during the rain as well. So, and I don't know if that was Pike or who that put the little, went along and just basically created some ways for it to run off rather than totally screwing up the Windrose. But the Windrose took a beating as well.
That was an ongoing issue with Pike as well. With that berm, it was an uphill battle to make sure that they had these cutouts in and whatnot. But I put all the ones in from the Pomfret Road down to the Allen Hillside to try to prove a point to them that if you put enough of them in, this windrow business does work. But
right.
Some of that was, and that's why it's been an uphill battle with me on that part, on wanting to even absorb any of that erosion, because to me it was just poor workmanship, and they didn't listen and didn't put in the cutouts. But after we got the rain, they went back and put their cutouts in. So it's been kind of a sour grape thing, and we deliberated on it a lot between each other, and this was the easiest solution on that one spot that we could come up with.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, so I think we need to formally approve this solution, and Steve, you were there at the conversations. Would you like to make a motion regarding this remediation of storm damage solution, so that there's something in the minutes to indicate that we approved of this?
Sure. I make a motion that the town pays for the 6 to 12 inch stone that we agreed upon at the meeting to fix the washout damage under the band rail, and that Pike will supply the labor and the equipment at no extra charge.
Does that sound good to you, Jimmy?
Yep, that sounds good to me.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Scott. Any more discussion regarding this? All those in favor, Scott?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Myself, aye. Next on the agenda is assurance of vendor payment of the Howe Hill project. And because I put this on there, or Jimmy and I talked about it, but I put it on there really, or we both thought it was a concern, I think we have to be mindful and get some assurance from Pike that the vendors and the subcontractors that they use have gotten paid before we pay that final invoice to Pike. Right now, we've only paid them $121,000, and so all of the vendors that they use definitely are not going to use up that kind of money. But I think we should be mindful of that, and that's why I put it on there. Any discussion on that from, or any questions?
Do we have any language in the contract that would put us in a position to hold back payment if that were to occur? Because we legally, we can't really enforce the interest of a subcontractor. But if we have language in the contract that says we're going to withhold either all payment or part of a payment if they don't pay their vendors, then we've got a leg to stand on. But technically, we don't, without that contract language, we don't really have a legal leg to stand on to enforce the rights of a subcontractor.
Well, I mean, I have heard in the past, because of this whole trial situation that we had, that you can, there's a form, I don't know where the generic form or anything comes from, but a lot of people use it on government jobs and whatnot, and I guess it's a fairly simple form, and you just have them sign that form that they have to release and prove to you that all payments have been made before a final payment is paid to them. And I don't know if it's too late in the game to do that or not.
Well, we could ask Pike to sign it voluntarily.
Yeah.
But I don't know that, and maybe they, out of pressure to do the right thing, maybe they would sign it. But short of having something like that where they voluntarily, or unless there's something in the contract, you know, we would need something to point to say you made an obligation to do this before you get paid, so you need to demonstrate to us that you paid your vendors or your subs.
John Harrington's on. You might know if that language is in there or not.
Hello. Yep, John here. I am not positive on that, that there, that language is in the contract. I think there is something to that effect, and I'm looking it up as you're talking here to see if I can find it. So if you give me a minute, I can look through while you're talking and see if I can find that that language, but I'm not positive at this time.
Well, I do think it's something we should consider, certainly for future contracts, especially given that not only did recreational fences not get paid, for the band rail, the supplier of the arch did not get paid as well, and he got stuck for $13,000. And I just think in the future we should make sure that that kind of clause is in there. And if there is some way that we can ask for proof of payment of vendors and subcontractors, I think we should try and do that. That's all I'm saying, and I'm not arguing that perhaps we can't hold their feet to the fire legally, but I think we should, if we can, we should try and get assurances that all of the vendors have been paid. It's been kind of pulling teeth a little bit to get Pike to do the things that they said they were going to do in the quality that they have been accustomed to doing things before. And that just gives you a little bit of a bad feeling. Or me, anyway.
It does me too as well.
Well, if Jim, if that whatever that form that you mentioned, and I, there may be something because I imagine on state bids that there's probably something like that in the big bid packet. So we could dig up that kind of form, and we could go back to Pike and say, "Listen, this is not a contract amendment we're trying to execute here, but." We would like assurance from you that you're going to pay your vendors before we pay you, and ask them if they'd be willing to sign that kind of form. And then I think that would take care of it. And that would really be the best way to go. I mean, we can certainly ask them, as sort of, you know, orally if they have, but you know, they wouldn't be obligated to do it.
I hear you there. Yep. Because with it not being, if there's not, if John's looking now, but if there's no verbiage or anything of that nature in the contract, then moving forward, we, you know, we can't
do
anything about it now, but moving forward the next time through, we should make sure that that is in there.
I don't know if you all remember this, but the whole JP thing, there were a bunch of subs that did work at J Peak, and they all got screwed basically. And unfortunately, there wasn't that kind of ability for them to. There was no enforcement mechanism for their subcontractors to get paid, and so there were a lot of there were some lawsuits and stuff like that. So it's definitely not the kind of situation to end up in.
Has John found anything yet?
Not yet, Emily. I'm looking through here.
John, can you email it to me as well? I'll look at the same time.
Yes, I can send you the link, Scott. It's a big document.
Okay, yeah, send me the link.
This one's not that big, actually. I'm sorry. So yeah, I'll send it to you right now, Scott, if you want to look through it. There.
Is there anything else, John, that we should be watching out for regarding this Howe Hill thing? You got a third invoice, Ellen said. Does that one look are you getting the documentation necessary on the quantities of stuff that they use there?
Yep. So on the I didn't get an invoice. I got an estimate, which has all the quantities in there that will generate the invoice. And so I went down through and reviewed all the quantities and had a few questions back and forth with Pike. But I think we're in agreement now on everything, so it should go more smoothly when they do submit the third invoice to the town. So I'm, as far as that goes, I'm good.
And what happened with your change order? Or are you just going to wait and let that go till the end, and then we'll have just one change order for everything?
Well, they've submitted two change orders. The first change order we had some back and forth on, and I sent them an email regarding that. Maybe earlier this week, and I haven't heard back. So I still have questions on change order number one. Change order number two, I think, is all set. We had come to an agreement on that. And I think the intent was to get change order number one all finalized and just present the board with the two change orders for approval at once.
That sounds great.
Yeah. So... The first
Does anyone else have any questions of John?
John, you've been doing a good job handling them, though. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. And good working with you, Jim.
Okay. Any other questions on this particular item? Okay. John wanted to do COVID-19 travel restrictions.
I just wanted to make sure all of our employees, both ones we're directly responsible for, as well as any others elected or otherwise, are informed about the states. I'm just trying to the state's restrictions on travel. Mainly I've been dealing with it with several employees at work. Can anybody that's on a computer, can they see my screen now?
I can see it.
But, so if you Google Vermont COVID travel restrictions, probably the first thing that's going to come up is going to be a link to this page for Vermont. It's updated on Fridays. So if anybody's going on vacation, whether it be they're asking for time off or traveling over the weekend other than for employment purposes, you can go to this and you can click on it. Shows all of these states that are highlighted or ones that are approved for Vermont residents to travel to. And the ones other than Vermont that are in green, the counties, are the ones that have active COVID-19 cases less than 400 per million residents on a per capita basis. Again, the update's on Friday. So if you're planning on going away, you don't want to go away on a Thursday and come back on a Saturday, basically, as we found out at work, because when it gets updated, if you are gone and your county that you are visiting changes from green to either yellow or red, as did some this past Friday over the 4th of July weekend, upon your return, you're required to quarantine for 14 days, meaning you can't go to work. So by going away for a night somewhere, you could be essentially asking for 2 weeks off. So I don't know if we want to officially have our own policy, which could be as simple as saying that you must follow the state policy, or if we want to have something more restrictive. But I just wanted to make sure people knew about this moving forward. So I don't know if anybody's seen this prior to today or not, but
I can't say as if I have, so I appreciate you sharing that.
Is anybody planning to take, well, you wouldn't know if they were just going to take Friday, Saturday, and Sunday off, because you don't work then anyway, Jim, is that correct?
That's right, but I think, like that, yeah, I wouldn't, but like, that's where I think, like John's saying, is maybe a policy or something of that nature to follow that by.
I wouldn't know. We do. We've adopted a policy for both for our employees that require everybody to follow Vermont's policies, just because we operate in both states. And as we found out over the 4th of July weekend, I have three people at work for me that are at home, not necessarily due to them being exposed, but just due to the fact that of this policy that, you know, essentially they can't leave their house. So, you know, when they left, everything was kosher. And when they returned, the county they were visiting was now a yellow county. So.
Well, it would seem to me that we could get a policy in order, a simple guidance policy in order for next Wednesday's meeting and adopt it then and have the language appropriate, I think we could adopt a resolution now that would indicate, it would seem to me anyway, that we could indicate that indeed this situation has occurred for employees of other entities, and that if you're going to travel, you should check the COVID-19 map that comes out on Friday, or you might have a 2-week quarantine period when you return on Monday. Does that seem reasonable? Or do you want to try and work out a policy right now?
That sounds good. And then that way people also have a chance to weigh in too.
Yep.
So, let's see. I move that we adopt a resolution that indicates that our employees, if they intend to travel during their 3-day weekends, that they should consult the COVID-19 map on Friday that comes out on Friday, probably midday, John, I presume, and check the status of those places where they intend to visit. And if their status has changed from green to any other color, they should be aware that they will be quarantined for 2 weeks when they return. Does that sound reasonable?
I'll second that.
Any more discussion or corrections or suggestions to improve that? All those in favor of that resolution then, say aye. John?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
And myself, aye. So Jimmy, it's going to be up to you to notify your people that they should be aware of this before you leave work tomorrow.
Yep.
Now there's one other item that I wish to bring up, and that is that our road crew normally works Monday through Thursday in the summer on summer hours. And it appears that with this fixing of the road on Thursday and Friday, that Jim will have to be here to oversee that, even though Pike is doing the work. And if that is the case, he will be working on Friday. And Jim doesn't really want, Jim and I talked about this earlier today, and he doesn't really want to necessarily get in overtime. But if he works on Friday and the work week starts again on Monday, he will be getting overtime. He would just as soon take Monday off or some other day next week to make up for having to come in on Friday, which is his day off, and not get any overtime. But that isn't the way the timesheets work. So do we want to, during this Howe Hill project, give him that flexibility of taking some other time off for the time that he has to come in on a day that he is not normally working, and that Pike, but because Pike is fixing a mess, he has to be here to make sure it gets done properly. That item is up for discussion.
Our policy actually has a provision that says comp time is available in lieu of overtime.
Is that legal under Vermont?
It's legal.
Policy statutes.
It's legal. Yep.
Well, we are a municipality, so that gives us more leeway. I don't know what.
Yeah, it says. I'll read it. In lieu of overtime pay, non-exempt employees may accrue compensatory time off, quote, comp time, subject to the following conditions. Comp time is earned at a rate of 1.5 hours for each hour worked in excess of 40 hours a week. So it has the basic dollar equivalent of overtime. An employee may accrue a maximum of 40 hours of comp time, which represents 26.67 hours of actual overtime work. An employee who has accrued 40 hours of comp time, if not used, basically can be paid the comp time if they don't consume or use up the comp time. And of course, the last provision, employee may at the town's discretion be paid in cash in lieu of comp time off. So this is perfectly.
So Jim could just put that down on his timesheet that he did not come in and he was taking comp time.
Yeah, that's totally fine. Taking comp times.
That'll work, Don. That would be fine.
So does that work for you, Jim?
That works for me. Yep.
Okay.
Can we go back? Just because it's timely. But go back to the contract and yes. Subcontractors. So this is a little bit of a stretch, but I think it's actually it's strong enough that we can hang our hat on. But on page 114 of the contract, 115, there's a provision around application for payments. I won't read the whole thing, but the relevant part basically says payments shall be accompanied by a bill of sale, invoice, or other documentation warranting that the owner, that's us, has received the materials and equipment free and clear, and this is the key part, free and clear of all liens and evidence that the materials and equipment are covered by appropriate property insurance, warehouse bond, or other arrangements to protect the owner's interest therein, all of which must be satisfactory to the owner. The key part in there is the reference to liens. So there's what's called a mechanics lien, if you've ever heard of that. But a mechanics lien is what Pike subcontractors would have on Pike if Pike didn't pay them. So under the law, those subcontractors have the legal parlance is called a constructive lien. And so that's, I would think that this language here on page 114, 115 would be enough, again, even though it's a little bit of a stretch, to go back to Pike and say, by the way, we have this language in our contract. And we want some assurance when you submit your invoices to us that your subs are getting paid. And you could reference that provision in the contract. And I think that would be sufficient from a legal standpoint.
That sounds great to me.
That's kind of an informal legal opinion, but I think that that's a fair reading of the contract.
Well, I'm not necessarily concerned necessarily that they won't pay their subs, but I think given our past history, especially with Charles Smith, that we and had we known then what we know now, we might have made sure that there was more language in there to that effect. But I think that we just some of these subs are going to have a significant amount of money due them. And I don't like hearing from these people 9 months later that they haven't gotten paid.
Well,
you know, it's not our intent.
It's in everybody's best interest that the subs get paid because while we wouldn't necessarily get caught up in it, it would be a major hassle for Pike. So they would basically be doing themselves a favor. But I would think it would be appropriate the next time they submit an invoice to us that we just say we'd like some confirmation at this stage that your subs are getting paid on whatever payment terms they've worked out with their subs. You know, their subs could have agreed to some, who knows, crazy payment terms, but we would just want to have some assurance. We could ask for that assurance.
Sounds good. Anything else? That is all that I had for this meeting. The only other thing that I had is, do we wish to have future meetings on Zoom, or do we wish to social distance at the town offices or the town hall. And that is that I have no feeling one way or another, but I do think that we should make a decision whether we wish to continue on with Zoom, whether we wish to have a more normal meeting. We certainly have enough room in the town hall for a socially distanced meeting, even if quite a number of people came. And so I think we probably ought to decide about that. Any thoughts, comments?
If we return to having the meetings, is that going to require extra cleaning and costs and all that stuff at this time, or what would that entail?
Scott, can you, are we allowed to have an in-person meeting but exclude the public from being there in person as long as they're able to attend via Zoom?
I don't know the answer to that. I want to say no.
If we could do that, then
I don't know. So there were some changes, temporary changes to open meeting law that I don't know whether they ever got signed or even passed for that matter. But I don't know that we can prohibit the public from attending. We can perhaps encourage, but not necessarily prohibit. But again, there could have been some changes to open meeting law that says we actually can prohibit. So I
had read something about that at one point, but it may have been in proposal, not passed, and I may be mistaken too. If we had it at the town hall, in theory, we would have enough space. If we have it at the town offices, we don't. If we're going to have public, if it's just us, we would be fine. Problem at the town hall, there's no internet connection. And I think now that we've started having Zoom, regardless of COVID going forward, I think we are going to have a Zoom presence probably at every meeting, or we should offer it. Therefore, we're going to need to have a stable internet connection once we
Barnard's, and I could be incorrect, but I think it's what I read on their last notice that they're holding their meetings in person, and they are allowing the public to participate being conference phoned, and of course. The conference phone is not ideal, or at least I feel that the Zoom meeting personally is far superior in quality and being able to be heard than the conference phone is at the town offices. But I believe that's how they are doing it. I have no skin in this game. I'm willing to continue on with Zoom, except for doing the personnel reviews. It's fine with me. I have no desire one way or the other. I just thought that we should bring it up. Things are starting to open up, and town offices are some of them opening up, and more than they were before. And we may want to consider this, and we may want to look into this further and deal with it at the next meeting. I can put it on the next meeting's agenda as well. It's fine with me either way. I thought given the situation and things are starting to open up, we should at least discuss it.
Why don't we see what our legal options are and we can discuss it at the next meeting. I mean, I think Vermont's cases are pretty stable, but I think they're going to end up going up like a lot of the country is too, considering.
Well, that very well may be the case.
It's summertime and you go to downtown Woodstock and 80% of the cars are from Massachusetts, so.
They just adopted an ordinance effective tomorrow that everyone on the streets, in the parks, in businesses, everyone must wear a mask, and they intend to enforce it. So obviously they're having some difficulties down there, or there are some major concerns.
Yeah.
So anything else that you wish to discuss at this juncture? Then we have select board correspondence. I have none. Review of assignments. I have gotten a response from the LCT passive, and they are suggesting that we not rent the town hall, that if indeed we did, it would have to be professionally disinfected after every use. It just people cleaning it up would not be suffice. And I spoke to Pam Fecto up there, and her thought was, it is not like you're a business. This is not a money-making proposition. And it would, she said she did not know about the liability, but she suggested we not rent it. And we'll put that on the agenda for the next meeting. And but that was her thought on the matter. Agenda items for next meeting. I have none at this point, but if anyone else does, let's tell Cindy about it now. The meeting's only a week away. And also, we, because of timing and not wanting Jimmy to come and go and come, I took away the personnel reviews. We need to still address that and get that done. I did have one thought, and that is that at the next meeting, we could meet an executive session half an hour earlier if we so chose and went go through the reviews in executive session, and then we could go over them with Jimmy and Cindy and have an appointment with them at their convenience most any time. But that's up to the board also. Any other arrangement that you all want is fine with me as well.
That works with me.
Anybody else have any comments?
That sounds good.
So the next meeting, we will set an executive session via Zoom at 6:30 to go over the reviews and then have an open meeting at 7. And at that point, we will set a time certain to meet with Jimmy and Cindy in executive session to do their personnel reviews in person at the town offices. Does that sound reasonable?
Yep.
Sure.
Is that okay with you, Scott?
Sounds good.
Great. Any other issues before we adjourn the meeting?
Just items for next meeting. Just keep the future meetings on there as well as the travel policy, I guess, and I'll come up with something on the travel.
Okay, yeah, and travel. Okay, those stay on.
And I believe next meeting, the truck bids.
And the truck RFP.
Yep.
There are a few other things we picked up from the last meeting. The
what
brick
might they be?
Brick
the
building.
Brick building.
Winter maintenance and personnel policies. That's it.
But let's do either one or the other of the winter maintenance or personnel. Let's try and knock off one policy an evening.
Okay.
Is your winter maintenance policy ready, John?
Let's do personnel policy if we have time to work on that. That's probably more important at this point than the winter policy.
Okay.
We also I don't know if I'm not sure I heard buttoning up the conflict of interest policy, but that needs to get finalized as well.
Okay.
Great.
Well, let's finish the conflict of interest policy, and then we will determine where we want to go for the next meeting. At the next meeting, there may be more Pike issues, and God knows what will happen by then. Are you still there, Jimmy?
No,
he's gone.
Okay. Well, he's going to have to start working on that. Bunker Hill project, but I think he just got the culverts in to do that. And anyway, so I will entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor, John?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Myself, aye. I thank you all for coming.